We have been in the book of John for a bit, and what I'm going to do is we've covered all the I am's in John. Seven times Jesus clearly says, I am like the bread of life, you know. I am the light of the world, and we covered those. There's eight miracles in John, so we covered all the miracles. Now we're back at the beginning, and we're going to run through the book of John. But like next week, we'll hit the chapter on turning water to wine. Well, we've already been through that passage, so we'll skim it. And we'll pick up with the storyline there. So now we just want to cover John 1 clear to the end of the book. So just to make sure that we got this thing. So, hey, there's a verse over in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that's pretty famous. It's a big verse in discipleship. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I want to start off with this verse today. Because in John chapter 1, you have the apostle John. And everybody knows the big thing about him is he always addresses himself not as John, but as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Like, because he was an unlovable guy. I think he was a rough dude, and it touched him deeply that Jesus Christ loved him so much. Then he introduces us to John the Baptist. And we covered John the Baptist for a few weeks, who was the forerunner before Christ. Doctrinally, we've seen some things that when Christ comes on the scene, there's a forerunner. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, which was supposed to be Elijah. And we've seen that John the Baptist could have been that Elijah if they would have accepted John the Baptist's message about Jesus Christ being the Messiah, right? So we've seen that that was kind of cool. But he was not the light. He would always point towards Jesus Christ. But a lot of people followed John. But what I love when they followed John, John would turn around and make sure they followed Jesus. It's okay to people to follow you. I think, like with social media today, everybody, especially young people, want to be like influencers. Well, it's okay to draw people to yourself if your motive is they draw here. Your goal is to push them towards Jesus so they can follow Him. That's the one to follow. You know, we're just human beings, right? So we got John the Apostle, we got John the Baptist, and then last week we found the main character, the true light. Is the Lord Jesus Christ. And John makes that real clear. Like, I'm not that light. There's a true light, and it's Jesus. I just shine the light. I refract the light. I magnify the light. And that's exactly what our job is. So we covered that just several weeks ago, that the main character of this story is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to finish the end of this chapter, starting in like verse 35. We'll just go clear to the end. And basically what today I would like to see is, if you take yourself out of the main character role of life and put Jesus Christ there, Jesus is the main character. Not me, not you. John makes that pretty clear. It's Jesus Christ is the main character. If you will put those roles in proper place and put Jesus on top, the difference it'll make in your life. I hope I can prove it. I'm going to show you five things, five real differences that Jesus Christ practically can make in your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. All things become new. The Bible's pretty clear. When you cannot have a confrontation, you can't have a collision with Jesus and be the same. There's going to be a change. If any man is in Christ, he becomes a new creature. And the Bible says that old things pass away, all things become new. The problem with church kids, kids that grow up in church, you know, kids that never did dope and, you know, never did fornication, that never got into any real trouble in their life, they have a very hard time saying, oh yeah, I know Jesus. Well, what has passed away in your life and what is new? A lot of times they can't answer that question. And sometimes I think it's because they've just bought into the church culture. That's just how they've grown up. That's why sin always points people to Jesus. Sin and the law, right? You know, it's like you get in trouble and you get to a spot where you need Jesus Christ. So don't be afraid of that. I think Jesus, light is greater than darkness, right? So some of us as parents, we fear and we try to protect our kids and helicopter them, cover them all up. You know what happens then. I mean, look at what the Amish community does. They lock them up and hold them and keep them in barrels and crates and put them out in the field, lock them back up at nighttime. They keep them so protected and isolated from the world, then they open up the box and let them out. And it's been proven that community is actually, has through the years, has died in numbers. And the reason why is, because you know how you get, you know, give Jedediah, give him a little freedom and watch what he does. Give him a taste of it, and he goes out, and they usually, a lot of times, they end up wrecking their lives, you know. That's what religion does to people anyways. It wrecks people's lives. It don't fix it. But a relationship with Jesus Christ is different. If you're going to be in Christ, old things pass away, all things become new. So I want to show you, when you get in Christ, the change of the new creature. I call it the transformer. You know, what you see is you got this little, you know, Volkswagen Bug going down the road. You're like, oh, you know, that's kind of a classic now. And used to be kind of a nerdy type of vehicle, but there it is, you know, and all of a sudden you watch the movie Transformers, and all of a sudden this bumblebee comes out of this thing, some monstrous, I'm like, I didn't know that was inside there. It's like being a believer. When you're a believer in Jesus Christ, some of us, we just were very average people, and yet I have the God of the universe parked inside of me. He's made his home me. And what's inside of me is pretty darned incredible. I'm not incredible. But the one who gave his life for me is pretty incredible. And so I became a new creature. That's why it's our job, the Bible says, to work out your salvation. What's inside of you needs to work out. Some of you have it here. You know Jesus Christ. You can do it. Right? You can be the difference maker in the planet. But what's in you has got to come out. Now, and I'm not saying that, you know, a lot of times people just say, just follow your heart. Just, sweetie, I want you to be happy and follow your heart. Bad advice. The Bible says the heart's desperately wicked. I'm saying when you're in Christ, Christ is in you. You in Christ, Christ in you. Then you become a new creature. And then I would say, that's right. Allow what's on the inside to come out. All right, church? That's a lot of our problem. We just hold it back. We're holding it back. So let's go to John chapter 1. And let's start this thing out. Well, let's just start in verse 35. It says in verse 35, it says, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. These are the words that came out of his mouth. There's the Lamb of God. That's him. John the Baptist is letting everybody know, that's the one I'm talking about right there. It says in verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Notice, John's two disciples, they heard John speak, they followed Jesus. Do you see that? So people that follow you, like for instance, your kids, younger people, if you're at work and you got to, if you're an influencer at work, if you're a foreman or wherever you're at, you know what your job is to do? If people follow you, that's fine. You got nieces and nephews, you know, and you know what your job is to do? Just what John the Baptist is doing. If they want to follow you, you can just say, that's Jesus. That's who I'm following. You know, a lot of religion does this. And I'll pick on the Catholic Church. Just because they're the easiest one and a lot of branches off of that religious system. But what they want to do is they keep you coming back. You know, like the priest has a special connection with the Lord that nobody else has. You go and sit in services and it'll even be in Latin. Who knows Latin? What percent of the world speaks that? You know, but he knows. And you go there in some mystical thing and you think, man, this guy's got a connection with God. And you go to church. You even want to go to him sometimes and confess. You go to and say, man, I did this. I feel really bad about that. And he says, well, here's what you do. He'll tell you what to do, like he can extend forgiveness to you. And all of that is a system built on religion, not built on the Bible. But everybody buys into it. Isn't that sad? Yeah, that's a very sad story. But all of a sudden, Jesus Christ comes into the world, and the Bible says he's fulfilled the law, right? And so what happens, if you meet Jesus Christ, you're in. You're in. The Bible says you're a new creature. You're part of the family of God. And the only mediator there is, the Bible says in Timothy, there's one mediator between God and man. And who is it? The man, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Jesus. No human being. Don't ever put a human in that position. People sometimes want to come to me, and I notice they sit in my office and they start confessing sins. I'm just like, hey, you can take that crap outside, man. I don't know what to do with it. I got my own problems in here. I just cleaned my office. Could you please go outside and do that? I can't forgive sins anyways. Now, some people might need help. Hey, I've done this. I don't know what to do. I totally get that. You're getting some help. And you know where I point to everybody? Man, I point them right to Jesus, man. Let's go to the Bible. And eventually this is what discipleship does, is it kind of takes that middleman out. There's a middleman that teaches people how to get in the Bible. Here's what Jesus says, and get in the Word of God over here. And then people do that, and eventually they grow up. And you know how it is. It's healthy to grow up and move out of your home. It's healthy. There's a time when it's healthy. It's really healthy for a child to be nursed by his mother. And when you're 17 years old, knock that off. That's ridiculous. At that point, you know, you got to grow up. And then eventually, what do? You grow up, produce your own fruit. So it's a beautiful thing. So just to let you know here, he says, that's the Lamb of God. The disciples that were following, they were after John the Baptist. They followed Jesus. And that should be our goal too. Let's start this in verse 38. 38 says, then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, hey, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He did a crazy question. Where do you live? Where are you from? Where do you stay? Verse 39, he saith unto them, well, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. There's something pretty cool here. I just want to point something out here. It says that Jesus saw them. Jesus saw them, and what was their question? Hey, where do you dwell, man? Where dwellest thou? Where are you staying at? And what does Jesus say to them? Come and see. Jesus seen them. Before they ever seen him, Jesus seen them. And then Jesus invites them to come and see. If you look down at verse 46, I'll be back, you'll get the middle here in a second. But verse 46 says, Nathanael said unto him, hey, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's where Jesus is from. Because he didn't come from a great place, a great neighborhood, a great town, a village. Nazareth. Philip saith unto him, come and see. So Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, why don't you come see for yourself? Come see. Come meet this guy. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming. Jesus seen him. My point here is this. Number one, if you meet Jesus Christ and you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, you will see differently. And he wants that. And I like how he says, come and see. Find out for yourself. That's why if somebody has a question here, why does your church do this? Why do you believe about this? Well, you know what we do? We take people to the Bible. See it for yourself. We're not making this stuff up, but you know why people do that though? Because churches make things up. That's what religion is. They make things up. Well, you know what our church bylaws say? Well, I got news for you. I don't care what your church bylaws say. If they don't line up with the Bible, throw the bylaws away. That's what cities do. That's how they confuse everything. You have a few families move in, got a plot of land, more people come in, all of a sudden what do humans want to do? They want to control it. They put bylaws and all these things in place and policies and procedures. It's all a measure of control. Well, the only thing that's supposed to control and influence what we do is that book right there. So now the state of Illinois makes us have some bylaws. So we sat and it took us about 65 hours together, not sleeping, lots of coffee. We just put them together. It took forever to do, and I'm just kidding. What we did is we got on the internet and found another decent church, and they had bylaws, and we copied them and pasted them and said, there's ours too. And that way the state of Illinois said, hey, you're good to go. So, but we're going to be governed by God's word. That's what we're governed by. But the bottom line is, Jesus seen them, and then they start seeing things different. So I want you to know that nothing is hid from Jesus. Nothing. I don't know if you realize that or not. Even in like Matthew chapter 9, Jesus, he's in a scuffle with some people, and the Bible says, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, I'm like, wow, he's like one of the X-Men. He knows what we're thinking. Yeah, he can. Yes, he knows everything. So Jesus sees them in verse 38. He saw them following. Like, Jesus sees, man. That's why at the end of that song, Kindling Today, at the end of it is from that psalm that says, where can I go? Where you couldn't find me. Where could I run and hide? That place does not exist, right? Because he's everywhere. There's no secret places. His eyes, Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. You know how it is. A lot of times when we decide to do something wrong or do something bad, if you're around people that don't want to do bad, you just wait till you get alone, don't you? A lot of bad takes place in darker atmospheres. You turn off the lights. And that's why, you know, people always say, you know, people that are in like deep trouble or deep sin, they're like, that lady, that dude needs to come out of the closet. You know what they're saying? Yeah, because everybody's hiding in there. You know, you hide in those secret type of places. But the crazy thing about it is the Lord sees. The Lord knows. And there's some of the things we do that you would never do in front of your grandma. You'd never do in front of your mom. But when you're on your own, you think nobody can see. But there is one who sees. Isn't there? You guys remember Moses? God called Moses to lead the nation of Israel. The Bible says he was looking out and he's seen an Egyptian beating one of his people. And the Bible said, he looked here, he looked left, and when he seen nobody was seeing, he killed the guy. He's like, you don't treat my people that way. And he gangster killed this dude. Ain't that crazy? He looked left and he looked right. He forgot to look up. God seen. And God seen that. And God says, well, you're in trouble. And you know how it is. And that's why, you know, God's even given every man a conscience. And that conscience will reveal that. And eventually it puts people in a really, really rough spot. And people try. It's hard because you run. You try to run. Where can I run where you can't find me? Anybody ever tried running from God? Don't work so well. Or you run from a group of friends because they're so bad, and then you run and you sit down at nighttime all by yourself and you realize, why don't I feel so good? Well, because God knows where you're at, and your friends are not the problem. It's you. And you sit there in that loneliness, you know. But the good news is, Jesus sees, Jesus knows. That's why I like when people just say, man, you don't know all the things I've done. Man, I can't come to church, man. The roof would fall in if I come into church. Are you kidding me? God knows. God knows. And what I love about God is He's not afraid. He's not intimidated by your sin. He knows the frailty of the human life and the way we think. And that's what people, like the Bible applies to everybody, except with people that are not mentally healthy. You know what I'm saying? No, that's false. That's false. He knows. And He's not afraid. He'll embrace and take you just as you are. Just as you are, He sees, man. When you're in Christ, you start seeing things differently. You come near Jesus and realize that He knows. And I love the two passages here. It says in verse 39, Jesus said to them, hey, come and see. Oh, you want to see where I live? Come and see. Come check it out. And then later down, you know, when Nathanael said, can anything good come from Nazareth? In verse 46, Philip says unto him, well, come and see. Because Nazareth is not good. But the good one, the godly one that God sent down to be the propitiation, the payment for the human being's sin, He comes from there. Come see for yourself. I like that. So I liked it. Come see. Hey, come test the waters. I know there's a lot of jacked up churches and religions out there. Come try it out. Dive in. Prove the Bible. Come and see. You'll see things really, really differently. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Bible says Satan blinds the minds of them. What I love about real Christianity, you get into a lot of religious things and there's always like, there's a funky thing behind the curtain. Like it's weird, you know. And only, you know, only the priest knows the right words to turn blood and water into the body and blood of Christ. He knows the hocus pocus. Only He knows the special words that can bless people and the holy incense and put out and all. And guys, you go to God's Word and check out the New Testament, you'll find out it's not in there. That's all made up. It becomes secretive, and so people follow Him. Like, but it's just like the Wizard of Oz. If you get what I love about the Bible is Satan blinds the minds of them that believe not. 2 Corinthians 4, Satan blinds the minds. He likes to make everything a mystery. Everything. And yet I love, sometimes it just takes a little dog. In the movie he's called Toto. And what he needs to go is the great wizard that controls it all. He's the one that goes up, it takes a little flipping dog to pull the curtain back and you're like, it's a midget! It's a midget back there! You're not supposed to say midget today, but I don't know what else to call it. A little, wee little man was he? I don't know what to call it. There's a little guy back there pulling levers. The wizard ain't what you thought. That's what happens. If you get in the Bible, you'll see things differently. You grew up in churches and you'll remember things and ceremonies that you were a part of and all this religious tradition and people did all this stuff. And you're like, that ain't in the Bible. Like every little step along the way, it's like mind blowing. So if you want to get in Christ, I just want to let you know, you will see differently. And let me tell you what though, it's scary. I'm not going to lie. Especially if your sweet grandma was steeped in some religious organization or some church. And to see, I discipled a guy here last year, and I remember we covered a passage on spiritual gifts. And he started talking to me about, well, my grandma's the godliest lady I know. Here's what she believes. Here's what she does. And it was so sad because he was like, does this mean my grandma's wrong? Well, I'm not busting that news to you. But the Bible just did. It cracked the code. And it doesn't mean your grandma still can't cook good biscuits, you know. It doesn't mean that grandma don't give good Christmas gifts and love you with all of her heart. But just when it comes to the area of religion in the Bible, she's wrong. Simply wrong. It's okay. You can love your grandma the same. But you just seen behind the curtain that people don't want to see differently. You remember the old movie, The Matrix, when they offered them two different pills? It's scary, man. Because you take the pill of reality, and he popped that in, and all of a sudden he's seen the disaster, what everything that looked successful and great, he's seen. It was like hell, man. That's what it was like. And I was like, that's... So I just want you to know, you become a follower of Christ, you'll see the truth. That truth will set you free, but it's not always pleasant. I just want you to know that. But I don't know about you. I'm tired of living lies. I'm tired of it. I don't know about you. Don't you hate politics? Why? Lies? That's why I like, you know, we're shopping for a car. I just love going to car lots. I love car salespeople. You know, nobody says that. You know why? Because so many of them are slimy. Attorneys got a bad rap too, don't they? You know, and then some people, you know, you face one corrupt cop, you think they're all corrupt. It's not true, but anyway. Number one, you'll see different. Check this next thing I want to point out. He says in verse 38, hey, where dwellest thou? Where dwellest thou? Yeah, and then verse 39, he said, come see. They came and seen where he dwelt, and they abode with him that day. So I want you to know the second thing. If you are confronted with Jesus Christ, you'll see things differently. You'll hang out differently. You'll abide in different places. There are certain places that you will not be comfortable anymore. You'll hang out differently. There's a passage in John chapter 15. And we'll cover this here in 2 months. But John 15, it says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit except abide in the vine. So it talks about branches, and it says, he's the vine, but we abide there. That's where you're stuck. That's where you live. Some people say, this is my abode. This is the place where I abide. Jesus says, abide in me. I just want you to know, you're confronted with Jesus. It's not really just a place he wants you to visit. It's a place he wants you to live. Christianity is a lifestyle. Right? And some, that's why people that are just like, my gosh, I'm fat, I'm going on a diet. Well, diet's not really the answer. We know that, we just don't like to hear it. You gotta change your lifestyle. You know, I feel fat, I think I'm gonna jog today. Oh, great job. Pump that blood through, get your muscles a little swollen up, you're going to get on the scale. Get on the scale before you go jogging and after. I bet you gain weight. Who are you fooling? It's got to be a lifestyle, right? So I just like this, that Jesus says, abide in me. Jesus says, oh, you want to see where I live? So I just want you to know that Jesus Christ is like, here she is, boys, come and see. Come and see. There's no mystery here. Our God likes you to see. He wants to prove it to you. He wants you to know it. Everybody wants to like, oh man, I did something bad last night. Well, that made me feel better. Well, it probably shouldn't have. I don't know who taught you that little symbol and that signal. That's not in the Bible either. But it makes people feel better. You feel better just telling somebody, man, you know what I did the other night? You tell them. People like to do that all the time. Why do you tell that to your spouse? You tell it to her because it relieves your conscience a little bit. You know, even though he can't forgive anything, right? But Ephesians chapter 2 tells us this in verse 22. Jesus Christ came and died. And when he bled and died for you and me and resurrected from the grave, he took our sin. If you meet Jesus Christ, he will move inside of you. And we are called the habitation of God. So if you pray a prayer of faith to meet Jesus Christ in a sacrifice, he lives inside of you. He's in you. So when you walked in this morning, if you're a Christian, and sometimes we pray, oh God, please come into this place. He's like, what do you mean? I walked in here when you walked in, you know? He's everywhere. You know, we like to pray this stuff, but he's in there. So I like to think of this. You'll hang out differently. And I do believe this can practically happen too, because old things pass away, all things become new. I know people that meet Jesus Christ and they go back to their same ways and habits. They're not comfortable. You're not supposed to dwell there. And yet people do. And then eventually they quench God's Spirit in their life and their spiritual growth will go, that sounds like that too. When you're in bed and wake up at 2 in the morning, you're like, what's that? Your spiritual growth. That's exactly what happened. So you'll hang out differently too. Hey, come hang out with me. And you get to abide there and hang with Jesus. You have real fellowship, right? Check the next spot out here. It says in verse 40. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And 42 says, and he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So now, a brother introduces another brother, says, here's Jesus. And what's going to happen? Well, we see differently. You'll hang out differently. Your identity will be different. He got a name change. I love this, man. You get a name change. His name was Simon. You know what Simon means? Rock. Or it can mean stone in a bigger sense. You look up the definition of Cephas. You know what Cephas means? Just stone. Just stone. Let me tell you where this makes a difference. Go over to Matthew chapter 16. There's a passage where religious people, a lot of religious people, Catholics, Lutheran churches, they like to always say, yeah, Peter was the first pope. Like, where are you getting that at? Well, they take you to this verse. Matthew chapter 16, and it says in verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he says unto Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. So he's saying unto Peter, and they believe like he's speaking, Peter, you're the rock I want to build the church on. Which is crazy, because the apostles are the foundation of the church, the Bible says. They lay the foundation. But what's crazy here is if you look up some definitions, Peter's name means rock or stone. Upon this rock, if you look up that word rock, the definition of rock, it's like times 1,000. It's a cliff. It's mountainous. Jesus is saying, Peter, upon this rock, you ain't going to build a church on a stone. And this is why you find that name change, and it takes from like here to here. It happened with Paul. You guys remember the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 13, his name was Saul. And it says in Acts 13, and Saul, which is also called Paul, Acts 13, I think it's verse 9, it's the first time you find his name changed. You know why it changed? Because you know what Saul means? Do you remember the story of David or Samuel when they wanted a king and everybody wanted King Saul? You guys remember that? Because he was head and shoulders above the rest. He was tall, broad shoulders. Like, you know, this guy had it going on. The name Saul does mean one desired. He would be one chosen. So here Saul comes along, gets saved, he meets Jesus, and he has an identity difference, an identity change. And all of a sudden you start calling him no longer Saul, but Paul. You know what Paul means? Little one. Guys, I was once chosen. People chose me. He said he was a Pharisee. He had all these accolades. He says them all the way several times in the Bible with this testimony. He says, but I ran into Jesus, and now you don't call me that. You call me little one. Not one desired and chosen. That's the Savior. So I just want you to know, just like Peter here got his name changed, Paul does too. And all through the Bible, there's different men and women that get name changes when they run into the Lord. And I think it's pretty spectacular. So you see different. You hang out different. Your identity's different. Guys, you can't meet Jesus and be the same. So I hate to break that news to you. That's the problem with Christianity today. Everybody wants to claim they know Jesus, but they don't live like Him. I want to be just like Jesus. What do you mean by that? Because, you know, they hated Him. He went to the cross. You want the cross? What do you mean you want to be like Jesus? I need to be better, more like Jesus. You better figure out what that means. But a lot of times people don't want the identity change. They like who they are. They like the money they can turn. They like the shiftiness and the shadiness of the girl they are. They can't even imagine the change. But there's got to be an identity. You know what's crazy? There's a big deal going on today in the news. Even the Olympics had to face this a couple times. People that want to, gender transformation, people that want to change their gender. You know, usually the first thing they do, they change their name. You want to change your gender, then it's very significant to have your name changed. Because it affirms your identity. And most people don't like to talk about this part of it, but people that go through major gender change usually have a ton of pain in their life. There's a ton of abuse. And so they don't like their birth gender, or even sometimes the atmosphere, the family, some of the abuse they have. And so they'll be like, they want to change that gender, and then they immediately themselves will be self-proclaim another name. We see it all the time. Not all the time. We all know a few people that do this kind of thing. But the Bible says, which, you know what they're doing? They're just cheapening what the Bible's really all about. Because you and me, living in sin, I'm a sinful man, I've been confronted with the holy Jesus Christ, and me and Him collided. And He won. I see differently, I hang out differently, and my identity's different. I'm not a sinner anymore. Oh, I can still sin, but I'm not a sinner. My identity is a son of God. I got the name, John 1:12, right? We already covered. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become what? The sons of God. So when somebody changes their name, Christian, remember this. They got some pain or some hurt or some weirdness in their life, and they want to change their name because they just want to change who they are. The change they're looking for is Jesus. That's what they need. There's death inside, and they think by proclaiming another gender or even taking meds, some will even get surgical procedures, and there's a ton of, and then they're like, well, the reason a lot of gender transitioning people kill themselves is because they're abused. No, it's a similar word as abused, but it's actually called confused. Something's not right on the inside, and they're not happy. And they're trying to make moves to get it that way. And it usually ends them to a bad spot. Especially, and that's the deal, you never know this. You never know this until it takes a while to figure it out in culture. As you're, like, sociologists study things for years, and they're like, well, here it is. Like, you know, moms. Moms used to be at home with their kids. Now all moms have to work. It's a two-income world. Mom's got to work, and you leave your kids at home. Kids raised on daycare. And so people are just like, well, you got to do what you got to do, right? We just all say that. Well, that's how culture is now. That's why there's daycares on every 10 blocks. That's just how it works, right? You're like, well, that is how it works, but it doesn't mean it works right. And now you got a bunch of young people that are totally confused. We got kids raising kids. And it's jacked up. People don't know what they're thinking. They're super confused. But nobody wants to go back and be like, we've got enough data to prove that didn't work so well in our culture. It didn't work so well. And then people are going to be like, what are you saying? That everybody should be this and women can't work? No, the Bible's full of women that work. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying people are confused, but the reason why is, but you watch. We're going to find out as the years go on, we'll be able to study this a little bit better and watch this whole transgender thing way out, and people will be like, wow. And quit stealing from the Bible. The identity change you need is found in Jesus. You'll get a new name. Your slate will be cleaned. And you know what? If you don't like the gender you were born with, the Bible will give you what you need. It'll put you on the inside. So you'll start meeting with people. They'll teach you God's Word. You'll have God's Holy Spirit inside, and you'll find a change. You know, people that, for instance, let me just give you this one. If you were abused as a kid, a lot of people were abused as kids. Whatever violence was on you, it could even be sexual abuse. The problem is, if you're broken and abused, are you going to live the rest of your life broken and abused? A lot of people do. You can't. If you meet Jesus Christ, He wants to heal you. You'll find redemption and just say, that was terrible. That was a terrible thing. Yeah, it was terrible. But now what you can do is you could be a hero. You can help rescue abused people. But it don't mean you have, a lot of times they've just proven people that have been abused will naturally just start abusing other people. You're abusive. That's what happens. You start hurting other people. It's weird. But you run into Jesus Christ, He changes your identity, and you'll find redemption from your abuse. I've seen so many people ask for, literally extend forgiveness to the people that have abused them. Like with whole clean hearts and be like, this was terrible what happened, and I just want you to know, Christ loves me, I got a new identity and I forgive you. I don't like you, and I'm struggling, but I forgive you, man. I can now go to a family function, look you in the eye. You don't got one on me. See, your identity change. I'm just letting you know, the identity change that a lot of times people are looking for is Jesus Christ, man. It's that we got the answers, man. The Bible puts it out real clear here. So remember that when you get, sometimes we meet people that are transitioning or people that choose another lifestyle. And a lot of times, you know, I'm just telling you, speak into their life and into their hearts. We do it with love. You're not going to help those people by going, you're sicko, stay away from me. You know, of course, when I grew up, you know, if somebody's just a homosexual, people are like, man, I think that guy's. And it was like, well, now that's not a big deal. They're all over the place now. But so what we used to do is like, ooh, stay away from those people. They got the cooties, you know. Hey, we all had the cooties when we met Jesus. We were all born in sin. All of us. Now, it came out in different ways. But we need to be incredible lovers, but let people, it's still nothing wrong with saying that's total confusion. Oh, I love you. What are you saying about me? Well, no, I'm just saying you're confused. It's obvious. Look at you. It's messed up. I was the same way. I just did mine differently, right? We'll see differently. You hang out differently. Your identity will be different. You know what else I love here is if you keep reading on in this passage. Notice in verse 41, he finds his own brother Simon. He says, hey, we found the Messiah. We found Christ. Look at verse 42. He brought him to Jesus. Look at verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael. And what did he say in verse 46 down the road there? Philip saith, come and see. Like, you can just see. So check this out. When you're confronted with Jesus, part of being a new creature is you begin to lead and influence people different. Different. You're pointing them to Jesus. Acts 1:8 clearly says this, right? When you become in Christ, you shall be witnesses. You shall be witnesses. So we influence and we lead people, and whatever your job is at work, or you talk to people and you try to tell them, dude, have you ever ate here? They're like, no. Oh my gosh, I had this sandwich there. What are you doing with people? You're influencing them and lead them to go have this sandwich, you know? And maybe just because you like the sandwich, or maybe your Aunt Jean owns the restaurant, you want to give her a bit. I don't know. Did you try that new candy bar? No, you need to. And I was always that guy. If I walked in and something was new, I was like, new? Kit Kat birthday cake? I'll eat it. Ah! Then what do? You influence people. You ever had that? Don't have it. I ate that, and 30 minutes later, I was on the toilet, man. I'm just telling you. What am I doing? I'm influencing people. So here's what's happened. When you meet Jesus Christ, you begin to lead and influence people towards Him. Everywhere you go, they run into a brother like, man, you got to come and see this. It's Jesus Christ. You influence people different. Not just about the things you like and your preferences and what you do for a living. In some sorts, we're all salespeople. What are you selling people on? Because some of your lives stink. What are you selling people on? Hey man, what I got really works. You know, oh really? Your heart's broken in 1,000 pieces. Relationships are destroyed. Your kids ain't even doing so well. I'm not even sure your job's that great. But like people still, you still influence. Hey, have you seen that show? Oh, I see now you can influence people towards entertainment. Because then, hey, you know what I found? It's very similar to like getting drunk. but you don't have the after effects. You should watch this show on Netflix. It'll take your whole evening and you could probably binge watch that thing. For 2 weeks, you'll be good. And you know how it is? I don't know about you. I have finished the shows and I've been like, what am I going to do tonight? I think I'm going to jump off the roof. I'm going to end it all. Why am I so depressed? Because my show's over. Ah, it was Captain Morgan, man. It was in charge of my life for a bit. That's what it was for me. It was the dope for a week. Now what? Well, now that we really know Jesus, you begin to lead and influence people towards something that really lasts. Something that really satisfies. That's what we should do, right? I love this little bit of the story because it just throws a bunch of great gems at us. And like, you know, when Nathaniel, when he says in verse 46, hey, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's from Nazareth? The Savior of the world's from Nazareth? Nobody expected that. Nobody expected that he came, out of our county, you know. Lincoln Holmes? Can anything good come out of that? Well, here, it's like, yeah, the Savior of the world did. He absolutely did come out of here. And then, you know, it proves all the things that we know are true. But you got to prove it, inspect it, experience, check it out. Psalms 34 says, taste and see that the Lord's good. You don't know until you taste it. Put it in your mouth. That's what you do. You ever do that? I was introduced last night to some lemon bush. I don't know what it's called, some lemon bush. Smells like lemon. Does it taste like lemon? Taste and see. That's what you do. We went to a camp in West Virginia and guy's like, and these leaves over here are like mint, you know. You crack them open and he goes, and smell them. We smell them. Ooh, it's like mint. Hey, does it taste like mint? You know what the guy said? Nobody put these in your mouth. So I had to go. It did taste like mint. It tastes like mint. And he came up to me and he goes, hey, you'll probably be fine. He says, they tell me to tell people that just so nobody gets sick on my little hike. This guy was taking us on a deal. Hey, taste and see that the Lord's good. Nazareth, it's never about where you come from, but it is about where we're going. It's okay to say, I'm from Nazareth, right? And that's what Jesus proves us. The Savior of the world comes from Nazareth. I don't have a very good family. It don't matter. It's kind of irrelevant. You meet Jesus, you become a new creature. Do you see differently? You should. Do you hang out differently? You can't hang out the same place you used to hang out. You can't. Your identity's different. And now you lead and you influence differently. And then let me end on this point here. If you keep reading down, verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. Why? Well, Jesus sees everything. And saith, and behold, an Israelite indeed, and who is no guile. Nathanael said to him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him in verse 48, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Yeah, you're under that tree. I seen you. Jesus sees it all. 49. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Verse 50, Jesus answering said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. You'll see greater things now. You believe. He said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 51, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Oh, I remember that story. Do you guys remember that story back in Genesis 28? Jacob had a dream. Do you remember that? The ladder, the angels coming down. And that's where God just said, dude, you know, the place where you're lying, everywhere I'm going to give you the land. Like he's seen the reality of a God. He dreamt it. So what we find here is what Jacob dreamed is a reality in Jesus. That's what he's pointing out here. He says, I'm telling you right now, you believe, man. I saw you and you believe. And so what happens? He says, thou shalt see greater things than these. So watch this. You'll see different. You'll hang out different. Your identity's different. You'll lead and influence. It'll be different. And then at the end, you'll see not just different. You'll see greater. That's what he says. Thou shalt see greater things than these. You'll see greater. supernatural. Hebrews 11:26 says, "And these people, they esteemed the reproaches of Christ." It says they esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater. Everything that Egypt could offer. They were seeing things different, right? Ephesians 3:20, what's it say? That He can do abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He'll do abundantly above all that we can ask or think. If you just met Jesus Christ, you're starting to see things different, right? You're hanging out differently. Your identity's different now. You lead and influence different. Now you're pointing people to Christ. You'll start seeing the greater. That's what He says there. You'll see the greater. Oh, you don't have a clue right now. But I'm telling you, you've just begun. This is just chapter one where Jesus is interacting with His disciples. You know, any man that is in Christ Jesus is a what? A new creature. If you're a new creature today, I think these things should be in your life. See different. Hang out different. Remember the hangout different? Remember what happened with Peter? Jesus died, He hadn't seen him again. Peter went what? He went right back to who he was. And Jesus was like, be careful. That's a scary place to be. Hang out different. Your identity's different. So guys, some of you met Jesus Christ. You're a child of God. That's who you are now. You know, when people ask you and just say like, you know, sometimes people say like, you know, hey, my name's Mike and I'm a avid drug user. I'm an alcoholic. You know, we like to identify ourselves with those things. Hey, my name is Mike Blake and I am a Christian, man. I'm a child of God. Well, it might mean that you struggle with a certain sin. I get that. You might struggle with alcohol, but your identity is not in the alcohol. If you know Jesus and you're in it, your identity is different. Do you see it? Your identity is so different. So then lead and influence people different. Stop it. Quit talking about stupid stuff. Always trying to influence people on. I went one time to the bank, man. I was getting a loan for something. And that was back when the Palm Pilots were big. Nobody had cell phones that could do cool things then. You had cell phones, they were that big. Oh, you know, you're walking around with a brick. I had this Palm Pilot and I was showing, oh yeah. And the guy's like, what is that? Man, I had like this vice president of the bank. And he's like, by the time I got done, he's like, I'm getting one of those things. He goes, you know what? You ought to be a salesman for Palm Pilot. I thought, boy, how sucky am I? I'm a pastor of a church. My life's been changed because of Jesus. And I'm out telling people how great Palm Pilots are. You know where Palm Pilots are at now, don't you? They're on eBay. They sell them as like a relic. You can get them just like, hey, you know, you want something. It's kind of a cool piece of history. Why would you use them anymore? Because your cell phone today just destroys it, you know? What a loser I am. Am I a loser? Lead and influence different. Point people to Christ. Everything that comes out of your mouth, may you be like one of the you got to come and see this. You got to come check it out. And then the last thing He promises, you're going to see greater things than this. Guys, just want to encourage you this morning, knowing Jesus Christ, it's only just begun with you. Some of you just sit right here in this spot. I'm telling you, if you'll believe and keep growing in your faith, you will see things not just different, you will see things greater. Right? I'm just telling you, and I know there's a lot of talk out there on like cable TV about the miracles, but it's truly miraculous. The things. I was talking the other day and somebody was asking me, so, yeah, I'd like to go here and where have you been? And I remember I was sharing, well, and I started naming the countries and the nations I've been to, and this girl looked at me and you know what she said? Man, you've been a lot of places. I'm like, who would ever guess? A kid from Akron, Ohio. A kid from Barberton. I have been a lot of places. Man, but you know what's funny? Is I'm not famous. But I know the one who is. And I want to go influence everybody and tell them about him. It's pretty spectacular. Let's pray. Hey, if you need to know Jesus Christ today, if you have never met Jesus, He bled and died for you, for me. He took your sins. Being a Christian is knowing Him. Have you ever met Him? Being here at church this morning does not make you a Christian, right? Sitting at McDonald's does not make you a hamburger, right? So don't think being in this building, yeah, man, she's a good girl, man, you're a good guy. No. Jesus Christ is the only good one. He gave his life. He bled, died, and resurrected. Being a Christian is knowing him by faith, meeting him. And then it begins to change and you begin to see things differently and do things differently. And then you'll see things greater. But I guess I'm going to put a plea out today. Is there anybody here in the room that would say, man, I need to be a Christian. I need to know Jesus Christ. And I'm just telling you, it is scary because your life's going to change. Your life will be different, but it'll be wonderful. Is there anybody here, what I'm going to ask you to do, we're all kind of bowing our heads, we're kind of in a like a prayer for, raise your hand. Just raise your hand and say, I want to become a Christian. I really do. I've never met Jesus. I'd like to see from the Bible how this is done. Because we'll show you Scripture. We don't do anything without the Bible. I'll show what the Bible says and you can be saved today. Don't assume you are. Is there anybody in the room? Just going to have to raise your hand and say, I want to meet Christ now. Anybody? Let me know. Anybody? Just let me know. Hey, Christian, we should be different. We should be different knowing Jesus. Why do we let culture influence us so much and we got to do the things they do? See differently. Hang out differently. May your identity be different. May you lead and influence people different. And then I pray that you grow to the spot and you start seeing greater things. You live in the realm of the supernatural. Jesus, thank you for your word today. Thanks for just church, being able to hang together. Lord, to exalt you, we love you. God, your mercies are new every morning. I'm thankful this is the first day of the week and we get to do it here. We got to do the first thing on our agenda this week was to put you in first place, to come here. Lord, I just pray that we would leave this place, that we would truly be different. It's in your name we pray. Amen.